Hello, welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, Julien Laurent, Craig Burley and Frank Leboeuf with me today to reflect on what we saw in Germany. Let's take you through, shall we, all of the results. Some interesting ties today. Wolfsburg losing 2-0 at home against Borussia Dortmund. Freiburg 0, Werder Bremen 1 to give themselves some hope. Paderborn 1, Hoffenheim 1. Borussia Mönchengladbach 1 by Leverkusen 3 in a controversial game there. More on that later. But we start with Bayern Munich's 5-2 victory over Eintracht Frankfurt. Craig, this was a weird game because Bayern were in absolute complete control. 3-0 up. However, the visitors get two goals very, very quickly. You thought, hello, we could have a game here. But Frankfurt completely shoot themselves in the foot. Stupid defensive error. Alphonso Davies makes the most of it. And Bayern Munich with three more points.
Yeah, and in between that, you know, he had to make another great save, Neuer, from point blank range. I think it was at 4-2. Might even have been 3-2. I can't quite remember. But, you know, when Lewandowski scored straight after half-time, you thought, well, you know, surely not. But a little bit of sloppiness with Hinteregger getting a couple of the goals. But then, you know, the Davies goal, as you said, was a total gift. And then Hinteregger, who had an interesting game, you know, couldn't sort his feet out, and it was a ridiculous own goal. So it wasn't all plain sailing from Bayern. And of course, you got to come to expect this after the lockdown. A little bit of ring rust there, still some of the defensive issues. But I think the important thing for them is since Hansi Flick came in, Thomas Müller is revitalised. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, assist for the first goal, great touch and finish for the second goal. And the man's desire and work rate never diminishes, even with all he's achieved in the game.
Yeah, Thomas Müller, a completely changed man over the second half of the season, Frank. And it seems when he excels, so does the side.
Yes, for sure. I mean, we can see that he's back to his best, and the way he serves the players, the way he fights, he's always talking to the guys. Even when he scored the goal, the first thing that he did was talking to Benjamin Pavard to explain what he has to do, what he had to do. I mean, I really like that players. I'm very fond of those kind of players who give everything for his teammates, for the club that he works for. He was absolutely fantastic, but like Manuel Neuer, because we don't talk too much about the goalkeeper, but he doesn't do much, he doesn't have to do much, but he's there. And Craig mentioned the chances that Eintracht Frankfurt had at 4-2, and he's there. Very crucial player, like Thomas Müller is. I mean, those players are the example to follow, because there are some weaknesses that we have to mention before that Klassiker that they have to have on Tuesday.
Jules, I just want to go back to Thomas Müller. Why such the Jekyll and Hyde performance? It just shows the difference that a coach change can make.
Yes, you're right. Niko Kovac didn't really believe anymore in Thomas Müller, or was playing him in the position that is not his best position, really, out wide on the right-hand side most of the time. And I think for Thomas Müller to be at his best and to play like he's been playing this weekend, last weekend, but also before the break, he has to feel like he's needed and loved by the manager, and that really the team and the manager are behind him, which was not the case with Kovac, where he really felt left out. And with Hansi Flick, it's a complete different momentum and dynamic. Really, Flick has made him one of the key players in that team, which was not the case with Kovac, and that changes everything. But today, in a game where you thought maybe Bayern would lose a bit of creativity with no Thiago Alcantara, with no Gnabry there as well on the pitch, Thomas Müller basically picked the pieces, if you want, and then created the first goal, scored one as well, and was everywhere on that pitch in that free role that he's probably in his best position.
Alphonso Davies with his second Bundesliga goal, Craig. He's so much fun to watch. Just that pace makes it so entertaining.
Yeah, well, it was his pace. We talked about it last week with Frank. It wasn't his greatest performance last week. There was certainly a fair bit of rust there and a couple of bad touches. But we know the lad's quality. I mean, the cross-in for Müller was fantastic. But what got me was he was running onto the ball at pace, and then was the control and the change of direction to buy him that little bit of time to be able to whip that ball in. So, yeah, he's flourishing. Look, whether it's Coman or Gnabry, Bayern can stretch teams wide. They can get the fullbacks forward. With the movement of Müller in alongside Lewandowski, dropping into spaces, pulling people about, The other asset they've got, I think, and I think it was Jules that touched on Thiago there, you need a balance in midfield. And I think when fit, that's what Goretzka gives them. He hasn't got the subtleties of some of the explosiveness or the headline-grabbing stuff of some of the other players in this Bayern side. But it's so important that when the movement up front is happening, that you've got a midfielder that's coming through the middle and can score goals. And when fit, Goretzka is a big threat from midfield for Bayern. I sometimes think that is a facet of their side that's not talked about too much.
Obviously, last week after that win against Union Berlin, Frank, we were thinking, well, they're looking a little rusty, but obviously going forward, they were fantastic today. Bayern could have got more, even though it is a weak Eintracht Frankfurt side. However, you still can see two sloppy goals as well, Frank.
Yes, and I think the coach will try to understand what happened in the player's head, because they were very clinical until they scored the third goal, and suddenly they got very lazy, sloppy, and suddenly get scared with a two goal conceded very quickly. So we all know the skills of that Bayern squad. We all know the talent they have. But defensively, I think there are still some question marks. You know, the central defense with Boateng and Alaba, is it the best that they can have? Is Boateng back to normal, because it was pretty bad last year in a normal situation? But I think when you compare, because we'll have to compare before the Clásico, Dortmund with a very compact team, and the skill and the talent in terms of attacking Bayern Munich, but question mark with the defense. It's going to be hard to see who's going to win on Tuesday. But Bayern has to work defensively if they want to make sure that they can win again that title.
Of course, earlier in the day, we saw Borussia Dortmund with a 2-0 victory away against Wolfsburg. This was a big win, wasn't it, Jules, going into the Clásico, because everyone's saying, hey, wait in a minute. We've seen Dortmund in the past drop points in these sort of matches, so it didn't really matter what's going to happen on Tuesday. It would give Bayern Munich the momentum still. Yet they go there. They weren't as entertaining as they were, of course, last week, but they get the job done.
Yes, you're right. The most important was to win, really. The way they did it was not really important. There was no fluidity like they usually have. Once again, it's their two fullbacks who were probably the best players. Julian Brandt didn't have a game as good as the one he had last weekend, for example, and Erling Haaland was quite quiet, really, apart from that air shot that led to the first goal by Guerrero. He didn't really do anything else. But you're right, 3 points, they put a bit of pressure on Bayern before their game against Frankfurt, even if that didn't, in the end, lead to anything. But at least they'll be there. They show these two games in a row now, and they will go on to Tuesday night with confidence, and hopefully with Mats Hummels, who looks like he came off at halftime more by precaution than anything else bigger than that.
Yeah, Hummels said that he should be available for Tuesday. Craig, you look at this, and these are the sort of games that Dortmund need to win to keep themselves in the title race.
Yeah, and if they do, it'll be a big statement, because they've had arguably the hardest start to this season starting again. When you think about it, they played Schalke and then Wolfsburg away, two teams that are in the top eight. And if they could get a win against Bayern, then that's three tough games. And it's a big F, by the way. But that's three tough games out the way. As I mentioned, the boys mentioned, Bayern Munich playing at home to an Eintracht Frankfurt team that were struggling. Last week it was Union Berlin, who are down the bottom of the league. So their start has been somewhat easier. So Dortmund have got some good game time under the belt. And if they could get that victory at home, and we know they're not the favourites, but if they could get it, then it would be a big statement. The two wing-backs are playing great. Guerrero, again, two goals last week, another goal today, another one for Hakimi. But it's how can they stop the pacey wide players and the movement of Thomas Müller and, of course, Robert Lewandowski. They're all the questions that Dortmund are going to have to answer.
Bayern Munich, big favourites to take the win, though, despite the fact they're away from home. Evens, according to the bookies. Borussia Dortmund come into the match at 3-1.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favours. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today. Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Controversial win for Bayer Leverkusen. It all surrounded two big penalty decisions. Thuram brought down in the box. The host felt they should have had a pen. Nothing was given. And then Bayer Leverkusen go up the other end. Bellarabi is caught late. The referee points the spot, goes over to the monitor and sticks with his decision. Kai Havertz converts the penalty. They would go on to win by 3-1. Borussia Mönchengladbach's coach not happy. Here's what he had to say after the game. I was not upset about the penalty call, but about the previous attack when Thuram was held. If I hear after the fact that the Leverkusen penalty was more obvious, then I wonder, there is only penalty or no penalty. If you look at the rules, it hits the mark for Leverkusen, but that the play against Thuram is being completely disregarded, that does upset me. Right then, boys. Craig, let's start with you. Let's start with that Thuram challenge in the box where he just looked like he was being pulled back. Was that enough for you for a penalty?
No, and I don't think he was being pulled back, in my opinion. Frank Leboeuf's chasing an opposing player into the box during his career. He's going to grapple him a little bit. He's going to try and lean on him. He might even just hold him a little bit enough, just enough of a hold, but you're not actually pulling him back, just to put the player off. And I think that's where that fell, in my opinion, into that category where the defender just did enough in terms of grappling and a little bit of holding our arms around, but not enough, in my opinion, to give a penalty kick.
Frank, do you agree?
I do agree. I think, as Craig said, and nothing much to add, it's not enough to give a penalty. There is a challenge, but Thuram is not disturbed enough for me to have a penalty.
Right, let's move on to the next one then, which obviously was given. Bellarabi with the shot. We don't see this given that much, Craig. He obviously takes the shot, the challenge comes in late. The referee giving the penalty, was he right to?
Yeah, because we should see this given more. Again, I'll use Frank as classic case here. Frank Leboeuf's coming out to play the ball, plays a long ball over the top. Somebody, the striker's chasing him down, comes in behind him, slides in, and takes him out of the game, but the ball's gone. It's a free kick unless the referee decides to play an advantage. And I think this is the frustrating part sometimes, that because the player gets to strike away, which was clearly going wide, then the defender's already committed to the challenge. Now, there is an argument to say that the momentum of the striking foot comes across and catches the defending player, but I think then he just completely takes the whole player out, you know, legs from behind the lot. It's a complete sweeping move. And I used to get frustrated at this, but the more I think about it, anywhere else in the park, and it's a bit like a high boot, anywhere else in the park, it's a free kick. And so in that case, it's an infringement of the rules and a penalty.
Frank?
No penalty, for sure. I mean, it can be given at first thought, you know, like the ref did. But when you go to see the monitor, this one I don't agree with Craig, you see that the guy has a time to shoot, the ball is already away, and he's, in fact, the player, the attacking player, is on foot, hits the defender's feet, and then you have the contact. But in any case, the defender tries to hit the striker. He just tries to counter the kick of the attacker. So it's a clear no penalty because there is no intention to hit the other. And on top of it, when he hits, it's already the attacker who hits it. And on top of it, it's like a second after the ball goes away from the attacking player. So no penalty, for sure.
But as Craig says, if that's anywhere else on the pitch, Frank, that's a free kick. We won't even discuss it.
Yeah, but that's wrong. I mean, you have to see the action and you have to understand football. Sometimes some stuff happens where it's not clear. And as a defender, and I saw the action like 10 times, you really see that nothing from the player, from the defender, is intending to hit and to destroy the action or to destroy the player. He just tried to counter. And you have to count on that. It's mostly the player's kick who hits the defenders after.
Yeah.
That's a foul, Frank. He takes the striker down. Benarabi's brought down because of the challenge.
No. It's because you decide that the defenders makes the players going down. Why aren't you able to think that the attacking hits the defenders and falls?
Well, let me explain it in a different way, Frank. And this is where, you know, we can have a debate. Let me just paint another picture with two players. And as a fullback, we see this all the time. Fullback is going to clear the ball, hit a nice 50-yard ping up the right wing or left wing, and the striker comes across to us. Trent Alexander-Arnold says he's going to play this great ball up the right wing, and Harry Kane comes flying across from the angle, but is half a yard in front of Trent Alexander-Arnold, but his leg's in the air, but he makes no contact. The fullback pings the ball up the wing, and his momentum comes through and catches Harry Kane on the soles of his boot into the studs. We hear the screams. That's a free kick every time. We see referees giving it every time. So the momentum side of it isn't really an argument.
I know what you mean, but it doesn't mean because everybody thinks and every time it's a free kick that it is a free kick. Maybe it's something you have to think about. So it can be an obstruction as well. You can be that you don't allow the players to hit the ball. But again, I've seen that so many times when the player hits the ball, then kick the defender and the ref gives a free kick. I say, well, there's something wrong. And for me, it's what happened on that specific action where you see that is mostly the kick who hits the defender, for me.
Jules, you have the tie-breaking vote.
On this one, I go with Frank. It's not a penalty for me. I understand Craig's argument. I get what Frank is saying as well. It's the follow-through of Belarabi, who actually hits Elvedi, who's just tackling in front of him, and the ball is already away. And I understand that he's given everywhere else on the pitch, but it's a similar thing with the handballs and stuff like that. It's a tricky one to give in the box at that time in the game when there's been the Thuram incident before, when it's 1-1, and this changing everything, really. This is the big turning point in that game, and I think Marco Rose is being very kind not to be more critical of the referee after a decision like that.
Well, but 1 second, Jules. This argument can't be made, because if it's a free kick anywhere in the field, it doesn't matter if it's an important game. It doesn't matter if it's the 90th minute. Doesn't matter if it's a World Cup final. If it's a free kick anywhere else in the field, then it's an infringement of the rules and it's a penalty kick.
No, I get it, but if it's your follow through that get you into a defender or into an opponent, wherever it is on the pitch, I've got an issue with that being a foul. If the tackler tackles you and takes you out, no problem. But if the guy tackles in front of him and then you change your direction after your shot goes wide and it's your follow-through that actually hits Elvedi, I've got an issue with that kind of foul.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. I think it's the misunderstanding of football. And I'm very surprised that Craig takes the example of on the field everywhere else is going to be a free kick. But maybe everybody's wrong. And maybe we have to rethink about those things because it's wrong.
Oh, it's just the French are right. The French are ganging up on me.
No, but Craig, I'm very surprised if you think that because you had
just because you won the World Cup
as well, even if you were creative. You when you hit the defender, why do you want the referee to give you a free kick? You hit the defender, you shouldn't. It's not a foul from the defender if you hit him.
Well, the FIFA registered referee in charge had a look at it, and he's not French, and he sided with me. So you two can get stuffed.
And also, the Gladbach manager agrees with Craig as well, boy. Surely if there was one man who should be protesting louder than you two, it should be the man who suffered the most because of this penalty.
Yeah, that was stupid from the Mönchengladbach coach, because I don't understand his comment, because I when I saw the action of Thuram, I said, yeah, okay, it shouldn't be a penalty because they are in the challenge. But I don't know where that comments come from and why he put it that way, because he accepted the decision of the ref, where the ref, well, again, for me, it's wrong. So, well, we can debate, because some people and some viewers will say, no, it's a clear penalty. But in England, for sure, in England, no penalty, for sure.
Well, maybe in England, it should be the same rules to everyone, Frank.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I played in England and I discovered new rules that you can hit everybody without a foul. I did that and I conceded that as well. I realized that there were new rules in, let's say, Great Britain, because I'm sure in Scotland it's the same. So, I talk for Craig. It's different rules. It's why we love that game, because the referees, they don't give free kick every 2 seconds like we see in France or in Italy, and it's very boring. We like the English football because it's you can go and you can fight and you can. It's a big battle.
Jules, I didn't ask you about the first penalty for Thuram. Do you think he should have got it?
No, I don't think that was enough either. I would not have given it either of them, to be fair, and I would have continued at 1-1 and then see what happened, because it was such a good game. I thought as well, with both teams very, very impressive, I thought physically and technically, that I think it's a bit of a shame that penalty was given and that Havertz scored it as well and then changed everything.
Frank, this is what, the second time that you've seen Kai Havertz play. Does he impress you every time you see him?
Yes, a lot. I like his maturity on the field, that he looks like somebody who's 30 and knows exactly what he has to do. And when he has to do it, I mean, the goal he scored was very clever, you know, between the goalkeeper's leg. He's the master of orchestra of that team. And I talked about him last week, and I say that's a player that I will hire for sure. When we were talking at Chelsea about Coutinho, I mean, when you see that player, he should be in the Premier League very soon. He should be, because he's a very, very talented player.
Everyone should be in the Premier League, Craig, where it's better, there's no fouls, it's perfect.
Well, this boy could play anywhere, whether it's the Premier League or going somewhere else in Germany at the end of the season, you know, or whatever it is. He will be making a big move sometime if the financials are right. But, you know, last week it was against Werder Bremen, who are a struggling side. But Leverkusen have announced themselves again after this lockdown. They're in with an outside chance of the title hunt. They beat a relegation-threatened team last week. But this was away at Gladbach, another team that's in the mix. And some say that Peter Bosz's side are one of the, if not the most appealing side on the eye in the Bundesliga. And with this young man up front in this form, of course they're going to need Bayern Munich to falter or Dortmund to falter. But they are very much in the mix. And that was very much a statement performance, not just from him, from the young lad, but from Leverkusen, a great 3 points.
Dan, if I can add something, because I was very nice with Kai Havertz, but the penalty kick, and I was, you know, that I was a penalty kicker, was very horrible, you know, because the way he shot it, the level he put the ball was horrible. So he should stop doing that or improve it. Because I was too nice to him, so I have to balance it.
But you thought it was a penalty in the end, yeah?
Of course not. Carry on.
Three more matches upcoming then over the next 24 hours in Germany. Schalke taking on Augsburg. Mainz play host to Leipzig. And it's FC Köln taking on Dusseldorf. And then on Tuesday, of course, the Klassiker, Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Napa Know How.
Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
For more of a review on what we saw in the Bundesliga today, be sure to go over and check out Tom Hamilton and Stefan Ersfeld, who've broken it down. And if you want more, and let's face it, who wouldn't want more? Kay Murray and Shaka Hislop. Shaka giving us his big takeaways from today's games in Germany. Now, speaking of Shaka, it is an extra time for the ages today. I implore you to stay tuned and watch it. Oh, you can't make some of this stuff up, I promise. I'll be back tomorrow, but stay tuned for extra time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop and Frank LaBeouf, who have both failed miserably so far in our ESPN FC quizzes. And that's the topic of the first question. Why are you both so terrible at them? Shaka, I don't even remember your quiz. Who was it against?
Against Ali.
Oh, yes.
I've only been involved in one quiz. I had a slow start. I was making a valiant comeback, and then you just shut it down for some reason right when I was about to pounce and make my move.
But Shaka, you did answer at least one question right, yes?
I think I got three right in the end.
That's three more than Frank LaBeouf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I kept the clean sheet. That was pretty amazing.
Right then, Frank.
You know, I'm an actor of the game. I'm not a journalist, so I don't know anything. And you asked me about silly question. Who was the name of the referee of the World Cup final? Again, nobody knows. Who's the top scorer?
Right.
Who cares? Whatever.
That's true. Who won it? Okay, let's stick with the World Cup for the next question, Frank. Name your combined 11 from the winning 98 team and the 2018 team.
Combine. There is no combination.
Yeah.
There is one guy that I take from the 98, from the 2018, is Mbappe, that I include as a striker of the 98. So you take Barthez, Thuram, Blanc, Desailly, Lizarazu, Deschamps, Vieira, and Petit, Zidane, and Joker, and at front Mbappe. That's my team.
Not bad, is it, Shaq?
That's a good team. Can't argue with that.
I know.
I'm not sure where it's going to end.
Best part of it, LaBeouf's on the bench.
Of course, as always. Yeah, but you get the trophy and the medal. No problem, without being tired. So it's fantastic.
Exactly. And the speaking gigs, you still get those afterwards.
Yes, of course. That's my duty. And I'm good with that. I can even cut the oranges at halftime, no problem.
Frank, has your opinion of journalists changed since you retired? It's a question.
A lot, really. They were my enemies, I have to say, and to admit. And I realized working with them that they really love football. And we share some good times with together, and I'm completely dramatically changed my opinion about journalists. I like to tease them, and it's a game for me, and it's a way of life also. But really, I really appreciate now the people that I work with, except you, of course.
Well, yeah, but I'm a TV, I'm a presenter, I'm not a journalist. I don't do any work.
You're not a journalist.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I didn't know the right definition.
Shaka?
No, it hasn't. I respected good journalists when I was playing, but also when you're playing, you get to understand that a lot of them are just there to sensationalize and for the headlines. Well, whatever, and as ridiculous as they can make them. I still think those journalists are out there. I still have absolutely no respect for them now. And the good journalists that I respect in my current role, I think I respected when I played as well. The ones who were trying to tell the story of the game, trying to tell your story, the good ones, that hasn't changed. They just don't get the kind of exposure that or notoriety that the bad ones do.
Shaka Hislop hates journalists more than Lionel Messi. Wow.
That's not...
There you go.
I'm starting to agree with Frank on you, by the way.
Yeah.
I love it.
How likely are we to how likely are we to see Trinidad and Tobago at the 2022 World Cup, Jack?
Not likely at all. Right now, our football administration is in a total mess. FIFA has installed a normalization committee 4 months into the tenure of the last administration, won an election back in November, and now there's a virtual standoff. At the same time, there's any number of legal cases pending. We've been sued. We lost another lawsuit in the last 24 hours against Univision. It is not, our football is not in a good place, and it's been made worse, in my opinion, by the installation of this normalization committee. And as we sit right now, I don't know where the end is or how we get out of this or how our football gets any better.
If you had a phone call said, come on, Shaq, come and sort this all out, you'll be the president of the FA, would you take it?
Absolutely not.
Shaka hates Trinidad. Wow. Frank.
My God.
Varane, yeah. Laporte, Hernandez, Upamecano, Umtiti, etc., etc. How is France producing so many outstanding centre backs? Does every kid in France aspire to be the next Frank Laporte?
Well, you know, that's my life. I've always been an example to the others. So I try to spread my experience and give the best to make sure that we have a good heritage and we can follow the power of Frank Leboeuf. No, seriously. Seriously. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I think we always had through generations very good central defender, like we always had good goalkeepers, and I'm sure Shaka can witness that. But Laurent Blanc, Marcel Desailly, Alain Roche, but before us, Marius Trésor, Léonard Spech, and so many others. I don't know. There is something that we work on. We try to be first good defensively, before making sure that we can show the talent offensively. But the Italian taught us that you have to be strong. And if you don't concede goal, you always have a chance to score and win.
Simple question, Shaka. What do you prefer and why? Barca's tiki-taki passing to death, Klopp Red Bull pressing to death, or Mourinho park the bus to bore you to death?
Well, you know which one comes last in that three. Which one I prefer as a fan to watch Liverpool and the way they play. Their high press, the high tempo that they play, it's exciting. But then maybe at the same time, this Barcelona team, as it's currently built, and the great Barcelona teams let's call it a decade ago, I'm not sure that they can play the same style. The ones who played tiki-taka did so because it suited them. Similarly, I'm not sure that Liverpool will have success playing tiki-taka in the same way now.
Which do you prefer watching, Frank?
For sure, Liverpool. I like more direct football, even if we have to thank Barcelona and especially Guardiola, what he brought to football. No doubt about that. But I think it's we have to change, and we have to give also entertainment. And the entertainment comes from the power, the pace that you give into the game. And Liverpool does exactly what I want to see. So that's my own view of what I like about football.
I prefer tiki-taka, but no one else. Anyway. Better defender in their prime. John Terry or Nemanja Vidic? We know that Frank will say John Terry because he's very predictable when it comes to Chelsea. So, Shaka?
I will also go with John Terry. I think John Terry is one of the greatest defenders, the second greatest, if we include current company, that the Premier League has ever seen. I don't think they come any better.
To both of you, how do you rate Stevie's new haircut? Frank?
After his comment about my haircut in the top 10 last week, I cannot tell you how much lower he's sunk since that haircut. I'm going to have to do a top 25 just to fit that haircut in.
Frank, have you seen it?
I've seen it like 2 days ago, and it surprised everybody. I should be maybe, I shouldn't be talking about that because I have no hair. So how can do you want to give your advice or opinion about best or worst haircut? But we're not too far from having seen the worst of Steve Nichols' haircut in his life.
Shaka, now if you did a wind-up power rankings, who comes in after Stevie as the most easily wound up? This was after the Sergio Ramos conversation, of course, over the last couple of days. Who else amongst the team is easy to wind up?
Oh, Sebi. I think Sebi is even easier to wind up than Stevie. Easily, Stevie. Easily, Seb. Then Steve. Ali's been better of late, but Ali can fall off the edge when he's ready. That's my.
He can flip.
Is it a top three or bottom three of easily wound up?
Yeah, top three.
Sebi, Stevie, and Ali.
Basically, all you've got to do is mention height. Height to Sebi, and he's gone.
You can mention anything. His suit, his tie, anything. And he just goes.
Okay, final question. Let me find it. I lost it for a moment. Here we go. Someone asked, now this was yesterday, Frank. Someone asked if the guys would watch a series of Frank playing a dodgy French detective who is a terrible father and husband working in the south of France. Now, Craig and Stevie said they wouldn't watch that series. Craig, I think, said he wouldn't watch 12 seconds of it, let alone 12 episodes. However, Stevie said that it sounds like something his wife would watch. So, Frank, would you like to play a role like that?
It depends the, I don't know, the, how do you say?
The money.
The thickness of the scenario. No, especially about money. Why? But it's about what you have in the scenario. It can be interesting. No, it's not sure. You know, my wife doesn't like football, for example, never watched football with me. We don't share the same hobbies. We love each other for who we are, but not what we like. And so,
what's that got to do with anything, Frank? I wasn't asking a successful marriage tale. What I wanted to know was if you were offered a French detective role in which you were the star for a 12-series drama. I don't care. Your wife doesn't watch football.
I just want to. I'm just explaining that I'm not sure she will come to or she will watch that if it's a crap series, and I wouldn't watch myself if it's bad.
But would you do it?
No, of course not. I would love. I have to love the scenario. Thank you. That's your answer. Okay. Okay. No, I wouldn't do it. I don't do it. Things for money. Otherwise, I would have stayed in Chelsea for until the rest of my career. I don't do things for money.
Wait, where did you end your career?
2 years after Chelsea in Marseille, but my salary went down four times when I went to Marseille.
Yep.
Just to help my former.
And then
club.
What happened at the end of your? Where did you retire? Where did you finish your footballing career, Frank?
Cut off. I don't remember.
Thank you. What would you go there for?
Yeah, I went to Qatar. That's true. No, but that was for the beauty of the country and to launch football there.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Shaka, would you watch a series that involved Frank?
Well, I'd like to say that my wife and I also don't have similar hobbies. She likes to do stuff in the garden. I don't like to do stuff in the garden. It's hot, it's a bit sweaty. I just don't like that.
I don't like you anymore, Shaka. Yeah.
Me and my wife sit down and watch ESPN FC every day. It's a beautiful, romantic moment.
It's a wonderful thing.
Liar.
She doesn't even know what I'm doing down here. She thinks, why are you talking to yourself in the basement every day? Yeah. Oh, goodness. Oh, right, that's it. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Oh, we get paid for this. How silly. Not much. Not as much as going to Qatar, but we get paid. There we go. Right then. ESPN FC back on your screen tomorrow. Be sure to join us.